good to see the house of God so filled this evening. I want to greet each one in Jesus' precious name. Seems like my throat is not getting any better. I do want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for your hospitality and your generosity and all the good accommodations that we've enjoyed. And we certainly have enjoyed our time here, learning to know people that we had not known before, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it's been a time of spiritual refreshment for us and encouragement to see others that are in the battle and wanting to serve the Lord. Appreciate also the devotional period, growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it went well with the burden I have on my heart this evening. The second evening, Wednesday evening, we talked about the two ways, two gates, two ways, and the two destinations. And the Lord doesn't, He won't allow us to just live our lives and then die and not stand before Him before our destiny is sealed. And I don't know when the judgment day will be, but there is coming a judgment day when we will give account of the deeds done in the body. And I believe that's one reason why it is so very important that we apply our hearts into wisdom now, and we grow in this knowledge of the will of God so that we can prepare for that judgment day. You know, for the Christian, it'll be a wonderful day, but for the sinner, it'll be an awful day. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Now, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe it is, it says that won't all everyone die? The Lord will return, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with Him in the air after the dead in Christ rise. But I don't profess to understand eschatology, how this will all take place, but I do know that it will take place exactly the way God wants it to. There will be no mistakes made, and in the judgment day, there will not be any mistakes made. I will be looking at a lot of references this evening, but just want to establish the fact in our minds that, first of all, that there is a judgment day coming. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. It says here, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." He goes on to say here, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." You know, brothers and sisters, I said that for an unbeliever, it will be a terrible day. It will be. But for those of us that are prepared, for the ones that are prepared to meet God, because of the work of Christ in our lives, we need not fear that judgment day. Coming before God in judgment, the only thing that I've ever been before judged for was traffic. Supposed to have been a violation, but thankfully the judge didn't see it that way, and I could go free. I didn't have to pay a fine. But you know, as we think about coming before an earthly judge and the feeling that goes through us, just being there in front of the judge, it just makes me think of how a person will feel that is not prepared to meet God on the day of judgment. It will strike fear to their hearts, as we will see this evening from God's word. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Speaks here of judging each other and all. He says here, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And, I mentioned the fact that God says everyone is going to bow the knee before God, whether we're ready or not. And I believe that those that are not prepared will confess that Jesus is the Lord, but it'd be too late for their salvation then. And so let's bear in mind, brothers and sisters, friends, that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all be there. And we do notice in the second chapter of Romans that God's judgment will be done in righteousness and truth. And that is something we can be very thankful for this evening. God will never make a mistake in judgment. God cannot make a mistake. So His judgment will be done in righteousness and truth. His judgment will be according to our deeds. Also in Romans 2 it says, verse 11, that with God there is no respecter of persons. There's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if our last name is Yoder or Martin or whatever. We will be judged according to the deeds done in the body, whether they are good or whether they're bad. Whether we have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior and have lived for Him, have grown in knowledge, or whether we have taken our own way, we will all be before God's judgment throne. And it will be according to truth, according to our deeds. There's no respecter of persons. The writer there in Romans also says it's going to be according to my gospel. In other words, the judgment, God's judgment, will be based on what we find here in His Word. You know, that to me, that's a blessed thought. We don't need to be afraid that we're missing something here, and therefore we may not be prepared to meet the Lord. But as we apply our hearts to knowledge, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, we can have confidence that we're a child of God, that we're walking with Him, we have fellowship with Him. And so we need not fear the judgment, that is the judgment day when everyone will be before the judgment seat of God. God is keeping a record. Go back to Revelation, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then we turn over to chapter 22 and read verses 12 and 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So God is keeping a perfect record. We will not in any way fool God. We will not be able to be something inside that we're trying to hide in there and think that we will get by with it on the judgment day. No, God will not be fooled. He sees right down into our very being. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in our mind, what we think about and what we may desire. But maybe we're just a little bit ashamed to go out and do those things that we kind of find pleasure in. God knows all that. The psalmist in Psalm 139 said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't understand it. Well, I can't see what's in your heart this evening, but God can. And so God's keeping a perfect record. He knows exactly who we are and how we're living. And he will not make a mistake in judgment. His judgment will be according to truth, according to righteousness. Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17. We notice how this judgment will affect those who are unprepared. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. Now beheld, when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And brothers and sisters, the only ones that will be able to stand in the judgment day are those that have a clear record before God now. Those who have bowed the knee before him and have accepted the provision that Christ has made for us so that our sins can be washed away, so that sin question can be taken care of. But those who are unprepared, says, who shall be able to stand? They'll call for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. You know, brothers and sisters, to have our bodies cremated will not do a thing against us being there at the judgment day. I have to wonder sometimes what the purpose is, why people want their bodies burned and maybe the ashes scattered over the waters or whatever. But that will not keep a person from being before the judgment seat of God. Turn to Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew 24. Begin reading at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Challenge for us this evening is that we are ready to meet the Lord. It says here that not even the angels of heaven know when that will take place, but only the Father. So we need to be ready at all times. You know, that does away with any casual living. It does away with thinking that we can sow our wild oats in our youth and then repent and get things straightened out. We don't know when the Lord will return. We don't know when we will stand before God in judgment. There are things that we do not know, but there are things that we can know. We can know our relationship with the Lord. We know we can prepare to meet the Lord so that we have peace, and the thought of his appearing does not need to frighten us. I do believe, brothers and sisters, we're living in the last days, and the return of the Lord is not far off. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days when the Lord returns. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. They were doing just common, ordinary things. But I don't know exactly what all that means where it says they were marrying and giving in marriage, but I had to wonder if it talks about the fact that there's going to be marriages and divorces and remarrying and that type of loose living. And we know that things were in an awful state before the flood came. Scripture says that God repented himself of having made mankind. They were that evil. And so, as it was in the days of Noah, and things are not getting better today. As we look across our nation today and how evil has been held up as something glorious in the last number of years. It's awful. It's just, we can hardly grasp it. And I do believe, brothers and sisters, that the day of the Lord is drawing very near. And we need to take this warning that we have here in verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. The challenge is that we're ready for that time. In verses 25, we have the account here in the first 13 verses of the virgins, the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 were prepared for the marriage. 5 did not have oil in their lamps. Their lamps had gone out. And while they were going to get more oil, the Lord came, and those that were prepared entered in, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We do not know. But again, I am so thankful that we don't need to know. We can know that we're ready to meet the Lord. We also know if we're not ready to meet Him this evening. Today is a day of opportunity yet. Here in Matthew 25, reading 31 through 34, is when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, what blessed words. You notice he says, inherit. It's not something that we've earned. It's not something that we really deserve. But God is allowing us to inherit His blessings because of our faith in the Lord Jesus, in the provision that He has made, and in our obedience to His Word. Yes, it can't stop just at the point where we say that we believe in Jesus. That's very, very, very necessary. But then it must be a life of obedience that follows that if we're going to be ready to meet the Lord and hear those blessed words, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. On the other hand, verse 41 says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46 says, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know, God is so good. Here He is just telling us how it's going to be. We don't have to wonder what God's will is. We can grow in His knowledge. We have the Scriptures, and we can know that He's going to sit on the throne and He's going to judge us. He's going to judge the world. But we can now choose to follow the Lord and hear those blessed words, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It is absolutely unnecessary for any human being to hear the words, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Because Jesus came to save everyone from their sins. But we must choose. We must make that choice. Notice verse 46. What it will be like for those who have to depart from the Lord. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Oh, such a verdict to have to go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Scripture says that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth there, or grinding of teeth for the pain and the agony. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Verses 43 through 48. Here the scripture tells us, verse 43, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He goes on to talk about our eye. If our eye offends us, pluck it out. He says it's better to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Brothers and sisters, we cannot comprehend the horrors of hell. And those who come before God in judgment and have not accepted the provision of salvation through Jesus Christ, there will be no other alternative. God is a righteous God. He's a holy God. Sin cannot enter heaven. We will notice that a little later. But those who have taken their own way and followed the devil while in this life will need to be with the devil eternally. And that is, we don't even like to think of that. But that's what the scripture says. Let's turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verses 19 through 14. 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord his salvation. We'll stop reading there. Yes, I remember reading these verses to a man that came to our hardware store in Mexico, and he did not believe that the Lord was going to return and judge us. So I just started reading in this chapter to him. And finally, he said, well, I just don't believe it. Well, you know, not even God is going to force him to change his belief. But one day, he will recognize that this is truth. And he will stand before Almighty God in judgment. God is not slack concerning his promise. I believe it's because of the mercy of God that he has not returned already. As we look at the world condition about us today, evil is glorified. Evil is called good. And good is called evil. But God is not willing that any should perish. And to this point yet, sinners have the opportunity to repent. And we have the privilege of continuing to grow in knowledge of God and to fortify ourselves against the pressures that the devil brings in upon us through the world, through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yes, we are in a battle. And we just need to keep our eyes on God, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, remembering that the Lord is going to return. We will stand before him in judgment. But you know, the faithful have the blessing of looking forward to new heaven, the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. God is not willing that any should go to hell. John 3:16, probably some of the very young children could recite the verse by memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Life that begins here and goes on into eternity with God himself. Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I believe that's why God is tarrying, why he is not bringing an end to time as we know it. Because he's desirous that more would come to him. That more would find the way to heaven, would find forgiveness from their sins and understand the blessedness of walking with him in a straight and narrow way. God wants us to be in heaven with him. In John 14, shortly before his crucifixion, he was talking with his disciples, and he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, God is intensely interested in us making it to heaven. He's preparing a place for those who are willing to deny self, deny the pleasures of this world, who are willing to fall before Jesus at the foot of the cross, confess their sins, be washed in the blood, and then follow him in a life of holiness. God is preparing a beautiful place for those who truly are following him. Revelation 21. I want to read some of the things that God is preparing for those who love him, those who are prepared to meet him on the judgment day, those who have sent their sins on beforehand, and the sin question is settled, and we are ready to meet our Lord. Revelation 21. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I can't help but believe that speaking here of the church of Jesus Christ, it was clear as crystal. The sin question was taken care of beforehand. And here was the church, the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. And, beloved, let's all be part of that bride, the Lamb's wife. You know, it just seems like here God was just throwing out another warning. He was talking about how he was making all things new and the blessings that we will have with the Lord. And then he puts in verse 8 here where it brings in the other side. It's another warning that the fearful and unbelieving, what their part will be. I'm so thankful this evening that Christ has opened a way for us whereby we can be prepared to meet our Maker. And we have such a wonderful, wonderful future to look forward to. Chapter 22, yet verses 1 through 7. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Again, we see that picture of purity. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These are faithful and true. These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You know, brothers and sisters, I believe that not only is he referring to the book of Revelation, but this entire book. That we keep in our memory what the Lord has said. We keep it in our hearts. We live by it. We're here as a time of testing and proving. I believe God wants to see that we mean business in living for Him now while we're here on planet Earth. And that we are seeking Him with all our heart. We're willing to crucify the flesh with its desires and its affections. We're willing to heed His message and live for Him. And we can look forward to the blessings that we read here. I believe this evening we will give an invitation to